1 John, the 5th chapter of 1 John. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Let's start reading at verse number 9. It says, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye have believed, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him." Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you for this precious portion of Scripture. Thank you for the Word of God today. Thank you for what you've done this day. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Thank you for the kindness that you've bestowed upon us. Thank you for the souls that's been saved. Thank you, Lord, for those who have been obedient and followed in baptism. Thank you, Lord, for all of your blessings. And we certainly ask you to continue to bless, Lord, and just help us to be what we ought to be for thee. Help us in the preaching tonight, Lord. You do it through us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. This evening I'm going to basically preach from verse number 14 and verse number 15, and I've entitled my message, "Knowing God's Will When We Pray." Knowing God's Will When We Pray. Verse number 9 and on through those verses that we read to you are very precious verses of Scripture. The Bible says if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Many times, you all know that you'll receive the witness of men. Somebody will come in from the outside and say, "Boy, it's just raining terribly out there." And you say, "Oh my, it's raining outside." You believe it, that it was raining. Some people will come in and say it was snowing in July. You know they're lying to you right off. But anyway, you'll receive the word of man. You'll receive the witness of man. Many times we do that. We'll just believe what men tell us, you know. I've never been to New York City. I don't even care if I go to New York City. I don't care if I ever see New York City, but I'm glad somebody's there preaching the Word of God to them there in New York City, but I do believe New York City's there. Someone's told me, I've seen it on a map, and I've seen all of these things, and certainly I believe that New York City's there. I receive the witness of men. You do that. I do that. Well, the Bible tells us the witness of God's even greater. You see, God cannot lie. Man could lie to us, but God cannot lie. So whatever God tells us, we know is true. And he says, though, at the ending of that verse, he says, "is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son." He said he's testified, God has testified this of his Son. And he says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Now he says, if you believe the witness that God has given to us, because he told us that if we would believe upon the Son, we'd have eternal life. If we did not believe that, he said, you made God a liar. When God says something, it's true. If we say it isn't true, then we're made God a liar. Then he tells us the next verse, what is the record he left for us? What is the witness? He says in verse 11, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." That's the witness, that's the record he gave to us, that there is eternal life, and it's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none other way to get eternal life. He goes on and tells us that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. A very simple statement. He just simply says, if you have Christ, if you have the Son of God, you have life. And if you don't have him, you don't have life. That's very plain, very simple. And then he says in verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." It is God's will that you know you have eternal life. Amen. And that's simple things, wonderful scriptures here, but just simple statements from the Word of God. It is the will of God, you see, that you know you have eternal life. That is God's will for you to know that, you see. And then in verse number 14, he says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petition that we desire of him. And so we've entitled our message this evening as Knowing God's Will When We Pray. This is one of the main, I believe, remarkable prayer promises in the Word of God. If you analyze these two verses, they'll just thrill your heart. You look at it and you say, God says that if we pray according to the will of God, we've got it. God's promised he'll give it to us. It's kind of like calling up a store and saying, I want that chair I looked at the other day. I want to buy that chair. And they say, okay, I'll put a for sale sign on it. We'll send it out to you. The next day, you can put the phone down and say, it's coming. We can kind of do the same thing with the Word of God. We get in touch with God and we say, God, I want this, and it's your will that this happens. And he just simply says, it's on its way. Amen. It's on its way. Now, if you pray within the will of God, you understand? If you pray within the will of God, and that's important, we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at some of the things we know what to pray for. We know what the will of God is. Some things we don't know what the will of God is. And so we have to pray. But praying in the will of God, knowing that what you pray is absolutely God's will, and God says he'll give it to you. He'll do it. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, you see. That's why it says in verse number 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Folks, do you have confidence in him? You have confidence in Jesus? See, that's the confidence we have in him. He is our Heavenly Father. He's our Savior. He's the one who died on the cross for us. He's the one who loves you. He's the one that gives you eternal life. That's the confidence that we have, you see, in him. And of course, in verse number 14, it's pointing us back to verse number 13. Because if you look, you see the "and" draws them together. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. You may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And, he says, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And so once again, if you notice, he's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, God says if you'll pray within the will of God, he says he'll do it, you see. And that's for believers. That's not for unbelievers. A lot of unbelievers trying to claim the promises of God. You can't claim the promises of God. You can't do that. You can only claim them if you've been washed in the blood, you see, and washed and cleansed, you see, and made whole, you see. So verse 14 and 15 show us that prayer is necessary. Folks, if you want God's will to be done in your life, let me say something to you. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to learn that that's the way God does business. That's the way he does it. He does it through prayer. He expects us to pray, you see. And if you're not going to pray, you're not going to get much done. You have not because you ask not. That's what God says in the book of James. And the same thing he's telling us here. If you have confidence in me, you need to pray. You need to ask God. I believe with all my heart many things we don't have just simply because we don't ask. I mean, we're just a little bit afraid to trust God and to believe that God can do everything that needs to be done. I've heard people tell me before, he said, you know, I don't want to bother God with my problems. What kind of a God have you got? That your problem would be a bother to him. If I had that kind of God, he would not be an all-powerful God. Your problem and my problem is no problem to him. He's God. He can do anything, you see. He wants to hear of your problems, you see. He wants you to take them unto him. And so he's telling us here that we ought to pray, you see. We need to pray. And in fact, he longs for us to pray. He wants us to come to him in prayer and bring intercessions unto him. He wants you to take time and get on your knees. And yes, sometimes not on your knees. Maybe you're riding in a car, and sometimes maybe doing dishes, and sometimes at work or whatever it is. He longs for you to bring those prayers unto him, you see. He wants you to pray, you see, and ask for those things within his will. You know, a lot of times, too, we have the mistaken idea that what we're trying to do is take a prayer and we're trying to change the mind of God. That's not what praying's all about. What praying's all about is to find out what God wants and then pray it. Amen. See, we're not trying to change God. What we're trying to do is get the will of God done down here on earth, you see. That's what prayer is all about. And so we're going to look at some things here that if we have confidence, you see, we'll ask according to the will of God. If we do that, the Bible says that God will do it. Amen. Asking in the will of God, you see. And let me say to you that that promise is not to discourage you to pray. It's to encourage you to pray. The promises of God are there. Say, God, please come. Come to me in prayer. You see, bring your supplications to me. Bring your prayers to me, you see. God wants you to pray unto Him and to depend upon Him, you see. One of the, maybe not have a whole lot to do with this message, but one of the real problems in the world today in losing our first love or leaving our first love is the fact that we've lost dependence upon God. We have so much dependence upon man. We have so much dependence upon ourselves that we forget that we can't do anything without Him. And so because of that, we get to depending on man. We get dependent on our talents and abilities to bring about the things that need to be done. And that's what happened to Israel. They got in the promised land and all the food was provided for them. Everything went well there in the promised land, you know, and they forgot God. And I say to you, if everything goes well with you, you'll forget God pretty soon if you don't be careful. So you need to realize that your dependence is upon God. Every single day that you live, every hour that you live, your dependence is upon Him. You see, we can do nothing without Him, you see. So these promises here assures us that if we pray in the will of God, God will do it. Now, just to give one illustration, you remember back on the book of John, the chapter 11, where it's talking about Mary and Martha, and they lost their brother Lazarus, and he had died, you know. And Jesus, 4 days later, come to Bethany there, and of course Lazarus was one of his friends, and he came 4 days after he died, and Martha said, Lord Jesus, he said, you know, it's too late. He's stinking now. He's, in other words, his body's beginning to decay and he's smelling now, and it don't do no good to raise him from the dead now. He's already died. Life's already gone out of him, you see. And Jesus looked up to heaven and he said, I know that thou hearest me always. Now, he said that right before he said something else. It was not said for his benefit or for God the Father's benefit. It was said for our benefit. And he said, I know that you always do whatever I ask, because he always asks in the will of God. He never asked anything. He knew it was the will of God for him to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so right after that, he had said that. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. You see, he just wanted us to know that anything he asked would happen, because he always asked in the will of God. Never asked anything that was not the will of God. Of course, he was God the Son. And he never asked God the Father anything except what was right and proper, the will of God. So what we need to do is we need to look at some of these things tonight about the will of God. How do we know what to pray for? Some of the things are very evident, you see. Very evident in the Word of God what we're to pray for. Now, he reveals these things in two basic different ways that I will share with you tonight. But first of all, God reveals his will through his Word. Through his Word. Now, there are certain things, folks, that God says that it is his will in the Bible, the Word of God. He says that is his will. And he reveals it to us. One of those is, does anybody here have lost loved ones? Lost loved ones. Do you think it's the will of God that they be saved? You know, according to Scripture, it's the will of God, don't you? Do you think it would not be God's will that that person be saved? No, that's why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's his will, you see. And so I've even heard people pray, and I'm not being critical about them, because I think sometimes they just understand what they were saying. But I've heard people say, God, if it's your will, save so-and-so. You oughtn't to pray that. You oughtn't to pray, save so-and-so. We already know it's your will. We know it's your will to save every lost individual. It is God's will to save them. Now, if you're a hyper-Calvinist, you won't believe that. You'll figure there's a certain group over here that's going to get saved and a certain group's not going to get saved. No matter what we do, it ain't going to change nothing. But that's wrong. You see, God's long-suffering to us. Always long-suffering. Why? So that we will not perish. He doesn't wish any man to perish. He wants no person to perish. It's the will of God that you be saved. It's the will of God that your loved one is saved, you see. It's God's will. I want you to go with me over to 1 Timothy, the second chapter of 1 Timothy. Second chapter, 1 Timothy. I want you to listen to what God says, starting at verse number 1. He said, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, it is right, it's within the will of God that we pray for all men. In fact, he says that's his will. He wants us to bring supplications and prayers to him concerning all men. He says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. If you want to know the truth about it, sometimes the turmoil that comes into a country and some of the leadership that is given individuals, given countries and nations and towns and cities, is because we have not prayed for them. If you notice here, he says you pray for kings and for all men in authority. And he said, why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. You see, it's up to us to pray for leadership. It's up to us to pray for those in authority. We ought to pray for our president. We ought to pray for our mayor. We ought to pray for Elvis. No, I mean, we ought to pray for our mayor. But we ought to pray for him. Really should. We should pray for him. Really should. I'm kidding you, but you know what? We should pray for him. Yes, sir. We ought to pray for our mayor. We ought to pray for those in authority over us. Workers ought to pray for their bosses. Amen. We ought to do that. You see, that's the right and proper thing that God tells us to do. You see, we ought to pray for those who have authority over us. And why? He says, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all goodness, godliness, and honesty. Now he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now folks, did he not say this was good and acceptable? You see, in his sight? So is it all right if we pray because it'll please God? If we pray for those in authority over us, don't you think that pleases God? God says it does right there. So if it pleases him, we ought to pray. And he says also, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, did you hear what he said? He said, it's his will that all men be saved. He's not just talking about male gender. He's talking about men in common, men, women, mankind he's talking about. He's not just talking about a gender. And so he said he wants everybody saved. I don't care who that is. And he said, we ought to be praying for that. We ought to be praying for all men to be saved. Now, you and I both know that there's people who are not going to get saved because of their stubborn rebellion. But God wants them to be saved. You see, it's his purpose. That's why he died, for them to be saved. You see, all men. And then he says, why? For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. And he said to be, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher. He said, this is why I was ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. Teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now here he talks about man in general, because he's speaking about man there, the male gender. Next verse he talks about the ladies, about something. But what I'm simply saying is this, remember, it is right to pray. It is the will of God to always pray for those who know not Christ as personal Savior. That's right to do that. If you have loved ones that are unsaved, I certainly beseech you, don't quit praying. Just pray. You may say it looks impossible. Don't make any difference. That's when God works the best. That's when it's impossible. And I'm saying to you, don't ever quit praying. Just keep praying for those loved ones. You may not understand how God's going to do it, but God says if you really mean business, if you really will ask him in the will of God, God will do it. Why? Because it's his will. It's already revealed in the Bible, in the Word of God, that God wants all men to be saved. Amen. So we don't have to ask God. God, is it your will that this individual be saved? We don't have to ask him. We're already told in the Bible it's the will of God for all men, you see, to be saved. Then, of course, not only that, it's God's will to save any woman, man, child, I don't care who that is, upon the face of the earth. It's his will. Not only that, did you know it's God's will that everybody be sanctified? We'll spend just a little bit of time on that, but it's God's will that you grow as a Christian. It is not God's will that you remain a little baby in Christ. That's not God's will. It's God's will that you grow. Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians, please. The fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Starting at verse number 1. He says, furthermore, that we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to have received us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Now, he's talking about pleasing God here. He's talking about the Christian walk. He says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is, listen to what he says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. And every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, the Bible says in verse number 3, it is God's will that you be sanctified. What sanctification simply means is set aside unto holiness. It is God's will that every individual in this room be set aside unto holiness and to live the holy life, the righteous, good life. It is God's will that that takes place. That's why you come to church. It helps in your sanctification. That helps you to be trained in knowing how to serve God. That's why you read your Bibles at home. Some of you teach Sunday school so you can help people to grow in the Lord, you see. It is right and proper for every person to be sanctified. God does not want you to remain a baby Christian. He wants you to grow up. And the only way you can do that is through the teachings of the Word of God, so that you'll grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. It's, you see, faith brings growth. Faith in God brings growth, and the Word brings faith. So I'm saying to you, it's God's will, you see, that you be sanctified. Sometimes we look at someone who has handicaps physically. And sometimes, I remember as I was a boy, I've never forgot this, what we would call now a Down syndrome boy. Lived down the road not too far from where we lived, and a little ways. Their name was Phillips. And they carried that little boy everywhere they went. I mean, up in their later years, they carried that little boy. I don't know how old he got before he died. You know, he never did grow up much. He could still carry him around. He's carried him for years and years and years. And we look at something like that and we say, what a tragedy. But let me tell you something. There's a greater tragedy. That's a tragedy of seeing a person who's born into the family of God never growing up. Just remaining a little baby Christian for the rest of their life. That's a tragedy. That is a tragedy, folks. That's not what God intended for you and I. He wants our sanctification. He wants you to grow in the Lord. And the only way you're going to do that is get in the Word of God, because it's through the Word of God that your faith is built. And that's the only way you're going to get it. You're going to have to get in services and be under the preaching of the Word of God. We're living in a time, and you know this well. I'm proud of the folk here. I mean this. You're faithful. Many of you are just faithful right here every time the door's open. Some of you can't come because maybe you're on second shift or something. I don't know. But what I'm saying is, I know that. But I'm just simply saying to you, you ought to be in the house of God. You ought to read your Bibles. You ought to study the Bible. You ought to be in the house of God every time the door's open. Some people don't come to the house of God just because they don't want to. Sometimes it's just too hard to get to the house of God, but they can get everywhere else that they want to get. You know that as well as I. Those folk are not going to grow in the Lord unless they get under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, you see. That's the way it's done. And it is God's will that you be sanctified. That is the will of God. You don't have to ask God, God, do you want this individual to grow in the Lord? You don't have to ask God that. You just simply ask Him to help this person to grow in the Lord. Pray for those who are weak in the faith. Pray for them. Got weak brethren here in the church, weak brethren, weak sisters here in the church. Pray for them. Help them to grow. You see, ask God to help them, sanctify them, grow them up in the Lord, you see. That's proper. That's the right thing to do. Over in the book of James, the first chapter of the book of James, please. Verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy that you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I want to ask you a question. Do you need wisdom to live in this world? Well, I don't know about you, but I sure need it. The older I get, the more wisdom I need. There's more problems, more things to decide about. I mean, I need the wisdom of God. And did you know that God says if you'll ask him for it, he'll give it to you? Simple. It's the will of God to give you wisdom. He knows you can't live the Christian life on your own. He knows you need the wisdom of God. It's one of the things that every individual ought to ask every day of their life. They ought to ask for God's wisdom. You ought to get up in the morning and say, God, please give me your wisdom, you see. Because you can't get it anywhere else. You can't buy it at the drugstore. You can't buy it anywhere. See, you can't obtain it yourself. You must get it from God, you see. Wisdom comes from the Lord and only from the Lord. So what do? You ask God for it. He says if you ask him, he'll give it to you. How does he do that? I don't know. It's his miracle, not mine, but he'll give it. Haven't you asked God for wisdom and help you decide certain things in your life that needs to be decided? And you felt the presence of God as he's led you? You may not understand the way he's leading you, but you felt God's presence. You know that it's right and it's correct because God has given you that wisdom that you need at that time. Well, that's what everybody needs. Now, is it right to ask God for wisdom? Yes, it's already here in the Word of God. He tells us to ask for wisdom. Get up tomorrow morning or go to bed tonight before you go to bed. Say, give me wisdom. God in the morning, give me wisdom. I want to follow what you say. Give me wisdom. I need wisdom of God. Please give it to me. Ask him every day for that, you see. Ask him for power also. It's another thing. Don't have anything to do with this. But ask him for power. You need power from God Almighty. You see, if you're just going to do it in your own flesh, you're going to have a mess of your life. A lot of folks got messes in their life because they've tried to do it their way. You need God's power. You need to ask God for his power every day of your life. Say, God, give me your power. Power of the Holy Spirit of God upon my life today as I live. You see, these things are right and proper to ask God for. They're in the will of God. And God says to ask him for it and he will give it, you see. So we know these things are proper. Go over with me to the book of Matthew, the 9th chapter of the book of Matthew. Chapter 9 of Matthew, and let me start reading at verse number 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth labors into his harvest. I want to ask you, is it in the will of God for us to pray for labors? I've been praying for that for our church. I'm praying for more labors. I'm praying that God will send us laborers. You say, don't have enough? No, you never have enough laborers. You always need laborers. You need people, you see, to help and do the work of God. You always need people to do that. I wish you folk would start praying for that. Pray for God to send us laborers, you see, into the harvest. Not just for here, but all around the world, that there'll be those that will answer the call. Go all the way around the world, you see, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, you see, and preaching God's wonderful word. That's laborers, you see. We need laborers. Don't be afraid to ask God for laborers. In fact, give him your children and say, God, use them. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't know you was going to get that serious. What if your son was going to Africa this summer? Would you go for it? Some of you is having trouble getting the young teenagers down to Mexico. You're scared to death that God can't take care of your child in Mexico just like he takes care of them up here. It's amazing, isn't it? God's just not big enough to do it in Mexico. It's a mess. Yeah, we're scared of that. What are you scared about? Isn't God down there in Mexico too? I think he is. I think he's even going to be over in Africa with Luke this summer. Don't you? I think so. You see, that's why we need to pray for laborers. And sometimes that may mean for them to go a long distance away. Sometimes it may not mean that. We don't know what God's will is, but we ought to give our children to the Lord and say, God, use them wherever it is. You use them. You see, I pray for laborers, and I give you my children to be used, you see. So it's right and proper for us to pray for laborers. Say, we need to do more. We need to do more right here at this church. We just need to do more all the time. We need to expand our ministries, you see, and sometimes you're limited in that because of the amount of people you have and the amount of money that comes in and those kind of things. You see, you're limited somewhere. So you know what you do? You pray for more fish. You see, go out and get a fish, and there'll be a coin in his mouth. Isn't that right? That's what God says. You know, God's answer always was to go fishing. Spiritual fishing. You need more laborers? Go fishing. Go put your hook in a person. Get his soul saved. Bring him in. Reel him in to the church, the local church. Amen. I just wanted to take this time to say something. I've got your attention. We've got possibility. Is that bus still for sale, Brother Don? As far as you know. You going to go see about it? Brother Dave and Brother Don found a bus that would work good, 79,000 miles on it, and that guy will sell it to the church for $500. That's amazing. Do you think we've got 500? But there's other things constantly that has to be given. Next week, we got Tom Williams coming here. We got to give him a good offering. He's got his wife. She's in a wheelchair. He's got a nurse that travels with him all the time, takes care of his dear wife. We can't use the prophet's chamber out here. We got to use a motel because it's set up for handicap. See, so we got to do a lot of things. We got to make sure that we take care of those folk when they're here. Amen? And you say, boy, it sure was a lot more funner than him coming before you mentioned that part. But we've got to take care of them. And you know what? This preacher, I think I can stand up here and testify, and you'd have to say amen. This preacher has never forced you or tried to pressure you to give extra. I have always said, will you ask the Lord what you should give and give it? I've always done that. I'll continue. If you mind God, everything will be just fine. I mean, it really will. I don't have to pressure you. I just ask God to pressure you. He's better at it than I am. And you'll pay more attention to him than me. And you should. But you ought to give accordingly. You think there's $500 out here, somebody that might have it stored away for a rainy day that might just give that $500 to buy that bus? You know, some of our folk out here don't have $500 to give. They just don't have it. They're just trying to get by. They're trying to buy some groceries and trying to get by this week. They may have 10. They may have 15. They don't have $500. See, so I just ask you, do we need that bus or do we not? The old Ford's about give up the ghost. That old Ford's just about done. Of course, being a Ford, you couldn't expect anything else. I mean, you know. Is that good preaching, Brother Ali? Terrible, isn't it? He thought I was doing good till I got to that. But it's an international. This other one's international. See, it'll match the fleet. So what I'm simply saying is, never ask you to do anything, but there may be somebody out here who's got some money stored away that God doesn't want you to have. He wants the Lord's work to have it. I don't know. I'm not trying to pressure you. I'm just asking, will you listen to the Lord if he talks to you? Would you be willing to do that? I mean, you'd be willing to do that, wouldn't you? Sure, I think you would. If God tells you to do something like that, I think you would do it. And that's what you ought to do. You ought to do just exactly what God tells you to do about those matters. So we understand. I know that giving becomes difficult and hard sometimes. I know that, but let me share with you. You'll never outgive God. You never will outgive God. Just mind him. Ask him what is right for you to do. And then just do it. Amen? That's the proper thing, you see, for us to do. All right, so also, as we said, we know that we're to pray for laborers. You see, that's God's will, and we're to pray for them. Ask God to send them, you see, into the harvest. Now, all of these things that I've been talking about, you see, these things are specific things concerning God's word and his will. There's no doubt about them. He stated, this is my will about this. And yet we know there's some things in our daily life that it isn't stated in the Word of God what we should do. two young people thinking about getting married. You can't look up a verse of Scripture and say, all right, Tom and Sue, you get married. It's not there. You can look all through the Bible and you can't find that. But you do need to seek the will of God, the leading of God, before you get married. You ought to make sure it is the will of God that you get married. You see, that is proper, you see. But you won't find that in the Word of God. You'll find some principles to use about marriage and what it should be, and that you should be believers and all things like this, and responsibility to the husband, responsibility to the wife, and all those kind of things. But you won't find it in the Bible. Your name won't be there. It says you and so-and-so, you see, get married. Not only that, some of you maybe come to the decision, I need to buy a house. You won't find it in the Word of God. It says, all right, go buy that house. You won't find that. These are things that we have to get. We have to understand. We have to know that the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with us in these things. You won't find those things, you see, specifically in the Word of God. It doesn't say, so-and-so, change jobs. It doesn't say that. You'll have to seek the will of God, search the will of God about that matter. Get the Holy Spirit's direction on that as He leads you and takes you and guides you. You're going to have to decide those things as God, the Holy Spirit in you, directs you. You understand what I'm saying? There's some things that's very evident. Other things God does not reveal to us by His Word, but He reveals them to us by His Spirit. Go with me to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. You know, that's one of the reasons, and I just want to kind of throw this in at you, because it's so important that when you're making decisions, God's Spirit does want to lead you and guide you in those decisions. That's why it's so important. You'll hear your preacher say this: don't make a major decision when you're backslidden. Just don't do that. How can the Holy Spirit of God guide you when you're backslidden? He's too busy trying to get you to live right. And He will not give you great decisions and answers to all these things that you ought to do when you're backslidden away from Him. He won't do that. He is busy about getting you back right relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So don't make those major decisions when you're backslidden away from God. When you get things right with God, know that God, the Holy Spirit, is there to help you and to pray even in your stead so that you'll know the will of God. Turn with me to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, the Holy Spirit of God, many times there's things you and I don't know what to do. I mean, we've searched things all out. We just don't know what the will of God is. Holy Spirit knows what the will of God is because He's God the Spirit. And so He brings these things with utterances we don't even have to say, but we're on our knees asking God's will and asking it to be done, that we do not know what needs to be done here. We're asking God for His will, and always be sure you need to do that. Don't go to God and say, this is what I want done, if you don't know what needs done. You go to God and say, God, Your will be done. Amen. See, Jesus always pleased His Heavenly Father because He always did the will of God. That's why it pleased Him. See, what He wants you to do is say, God, whatever it is, I want to do it because it's the will of God. And the Bible teaches us here that the Holy Spirit of God will pray in our stead unto the Heavenly Father that it be right and proper, the will of God. He will pray that because He couldn't pray anything else because He's God the Spirit. So I'm simply saying to you, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God and to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. I give you three things a lot of times, and I'm going to take time, but just remember something. It never can be against the Word of God when you pray. If it's against the will of God, drop it. Quit it. We need to be sure that the Spirit of God is bearing witness with us. I mean, that's something not just all at once happens. It means it just continues to build, continues to bear witness with us about this matter. And then the doors of circumstances will open. You see, I'm just making that short because I've done that before. Doors of circumstances will open for you so you can do the will of God, you see. Always be in a situation where you want the will of God. Don't go to God saying, I know this is what I want, so I want to do it. God, is it all right if I do it? Don't go to God that way. You go to Him asking what His will is and do the will of God, you see. So He reveals those things to us
By His Spirit. He teaches us, you see. The Spirit of God maketh intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. As we pray and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit prays and with groanings and utter that cannot be uttered. We don't understand, but the Holy Spirit understands, and He's telling the Father this is what they need. I'm simply saying, folks, you and I many times don't know what's best. We just don't know. I've been there many times in my life. I'm just not sure. It doesn't specifically say, but I want to tell you something. I have never failed to get the mind of God if I would tell God that I'd do whatever He said. And I'd be willing to do it no matter whether I liked it or I didn't like it. Or whether it was my pleasure to do or not to do, but I'd be willing to do whatever He said. And I've always found out that God was always faithful to lead me and guide me and direct me. You understand? Now don't you go to God telling Him what to do. Nobody tells God what to do. And don't you go around trying to work God. Ain't nobody works God. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. And He knows why you're thinking it. Everything about you. He knows all of it. See, you can't fool Him. You see, ladies sometimes try to work their husbands. My wife does me that away. Yeah, that's part of a woman. Yeah, they do. She'll get things set up. She said, you know, honey, do you think this would be good? And she'd talk about it. She'd leave things beside my chair sometimes. She wants me to read, wants me to look at it. She thinks I don't know she's doing that. But she is. But you can't work God. You can work me. She can work me. Let me put it that way. Nah, she don't do that badly. She's just being a part of a woman. That's the way they are. That's the way you all are, too. What are you laughing about? That's the way they are. They try to kind of work their husbands a little bit, you know. And I just simply say that's the way they made them and made us the opposite. God works it all together, you know, for good somewhere along the line. You see, God works it out. I'm just simply saying, but you cannot fool God. You can't do it. Never will. He knows why you think a thing, the motive behind what you're thinking. You understand? So I'm simply saying, go to the Lord and submit yourself to His will and mean it. Say, God, I really want the will of God in this matter. I want You to do whatever is best and proper. Now, there's nothing wrong with asking, saying, Lord, this is what I would like to happen. This is what I would really like for You to do. But Lord, nevertheless, Thy will be done. Amen. That's proper. That's right, you see. You don't know what's best. I don't know what's best, folk. You see, most of the time. But God tells us, if we'll yield ourselves to Him, He'll help you. He'll keep you on the straight and narrow. He'll give you the things that is proper and right to give you, you see, when He wants to give them to you. So pray in the will of God. What does that mean? How do you do that? Well, you study and obey God's Word. You obey the Word of God. Don't go outside the Word of God. Do something that's contrary to the Word of God. Shame on you. Don't you ever do that. Obey God's Word, you see. Do what He says, you see. Humbly then submit yourself to the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Submit yourself to Him and say, Father, here I am. This is what I'd like. This seems to me to be best, but nevertheless, Thy will be done. Amen. Pray that away and let God then open the doors and do what's necessary to be done in your life. God will help you. Know His Word. Got many specific things He's told us to do. It's His will. Other things, submit yourself to God, to the Holy Spirit of God, leading and guiding in your life, and be willing to submit to whatever it is, whatever God says. You be willing to do it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You again today for the wonderful grace of God. I thank You for Your goodness and kindness. And I thank You, Father, for the precious Word of God that directs us so wonderfully into the will of God. And Lord, I thank You for the Holy Spirit of God, because there's so many times we just don't know what to pray for. And God, I'm so thankful if we'll yield ourselves and submit ourselves unto You. Our Heavenly Father, You love us, and You care for us, and You want what is good and proper for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.